You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. Leadership in Manzanita will see significant changes beginning January, with the addition of three new city council members, including a new mayor, as well as a new city manager. Mayor Catherine Stock, Councillor Brad Hart, and Council President Linda Kozlowski all said they would not seek re-election when their terms expire later this year. Kozlowski said the council is unlikely to take new projects or make major decisions until a new city manager is on board. The city council is searching for a new city manager after Layla Amon resigned from the role last month. Sean Koch, a member of the city's budget committee, is considering a run for mayor. Other interested citizens can all find requirements to run for city office on the city's election webpage. This story comes to us through a news partnership with Manzanita Today. As Washington state officials make progress on the environmental response to the deadly Longview chemical disaster, one tribal government is raising concerns over long-term effects on the Columbia River. Alejandro Figueroa reports.
Emergency response crews say they are done flushing a drainage system near the Longview Nippon Mill. That's after a massive tank failed and released thousands of gallons of a chemical called white liquor into the nearby ditches that drain into the Columbia River. The Warren Springs Tribe is asking regulators for transparency over the effect the chemical could have on the river. Britton Ransford is with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
High pH materials like white liquor that may have entered the Columbia River system is diluted to a level that's not considered in danger for fish and wildlife.
So far, officials have collected almost 3,000 dead fish from the ditch system, though there are no reported fish mortalities on the Columbia River.
That was Alejandro Figueroa reporting. It's been nearly 3 years since the Lookout Fire tore through the H.J. Andrews Experimental Forest near Blue River Reservoir in eastern Lane County. The blaze melted hundreds of sensors in the research forest and wiped out some projects entirely. But as KLCC's Karen Richard reports, scientists are finding some surprising opportunities in the ashes.
In a bittersweet way, the Lookout Fire created the perfect canvas for large-scale wildfire experiments. The 16,000-acre H.J. Andrews Experimental Forest hosts one of the longest-running forest research areas in the country. While the damage was extensive, scientists can now look at the effects of wildfire on everything from water quality and carbon storage to biodiversity and regrowth.
It was a really useful fire from a scientific standpoint because we can compare up to, 80 years before the fire and then the fire, and now we're up at about 3 years post-fire.
Matt Betts is the principal investigator for long-term ecological research at the Andrews Experimental Forest and a professor at Oregon State University. He says while the loss of some of the old growth forest still stings, the study plots have been reestablished, equipment replaced, and work has restarted. In fact, some research projects feel eerily convenient. Mark Schultz, the forest director who lives on site, points to the impacts on a log decomposition study that's been ongoing since the mid-1980s.
There were 6 replicate sites, and 3 burned and 3 didn't, so it was almost like someone designed it.
Betts says the distribution of the fire was also fortuitous, scientifically speaking, that is.
We actually have some unburned forest that's up high, all the way down actually on that side of the watershed is either unburned or less burned, and then on this southern side of the watershed it's in some places very severely burned.
We take a short hike on the Lookout Creek Old Growth Trail, now an open canopy. Spears of blackened tree trunks point skyward. There's an emerging green of fireweed and low shrubs at our feet. This is a U.S. Forest Service experimental forest on Willamette National Forest land. OSU is a partner, collaborating to manage the forest and the research station. Schultz says he was within sight of Lookout Mountain in August 2023 when a lightning bolt hit just below its peak. Pointing to the strike location, he says it was the only lightning all day. Shortly after, his radio crackled with a smoke report.
I was racing around. I actually came here. I could just barely see some puffs of smoke, but there was a little bit of rain with the lightning. What often happens is there's so much vapor, water vapor, that there's just a little bit of smoke. It can be hard to pick it out, but I did see it.
The fire held steady in a remote area for a while, but fresh wind and a new storm sent it into the area where we're standing. The Lookout Fire ended up burning nearly 26,000 acres and affecting about 70% of the Andrews. Driving to various sites, you can't ignore that this is an experimental forest. Instruments are dotted throughout the landscape. PVC pipes with sensors sample the waterways, and trees and logs are marked with various colors of flagging. Betts says hundreds of studies take place here, and many experiments can benefit from pre- and post-fire information. For instance, they've had access to sophisticated aerial mapping data from before and after the fire.
And that kind of details that gives us is total above-ground biomass, how much ladder fuels there are, how high the canopy is, all sorts of just scientific gold and management gold.
He says it's extremely rare to have such rich information. For example, one student is using microclimate data across hundreds of locations. As far as Betts knows, it's the first time in the West that people have been able to study changes to microclimates after a wildfire. Regeneration is another large area of research. We see young, big-leaf maples, rhododendrons, and a few tiny conifers among the small flowers and shrubs. But Betts says there's a lot to learn about managed forests as well.
We still don't really know how forests respond following fire of different severities, whether you can keep them productive or whether they're going to flip into some alternative state that's more shrubby.
Changes to animal life have been followed for decades at the Andrews. Betts is involved in a long-term bird study, tracking the roughly 100 species here during breeding season.
The fire came and we had about 6 or 7 species we'd never recorded here. And those included fire specialists like blackback woodpecker and mountain bluebird that really likes burned forest and young forest.
Betts points out that when a forest burns, it doesn't go away.
The reality is most of these trees are still here right now, and even down to the fine twigs. Actually, it's only recently the needles have fallen off. In some cases, they're still on. So it's remarkable how little carbon is gone from this system.
Betts says the Andrews was initially set up to understand what happens to water after forests are logged. For more than 50 years, researchers have tracked clear-cut, partially cut, and control forests. Now they can add burned areas to these studies. Lookout Creek does ultimately feed Eugene's water supply. I'm Karen Richards, reporting from Blue River.
Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. American Democracy Minute is up next. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Recently, a federal court allowed, for now, President Trump's executive order governing mail-in ballots. The U.S. Postal Service has been tasked with implementing much of the order, and USPS just proposed how the process will work. The March 31st order is widely seen as violating the Elections Clause of the U.S. Constitution, and a challenge by 23 states for violating state and federal privacy rules is still pending. May 29th, another federal court allowed the order to move forward since no voters had yet been harmed. First, the Department of Homeland Security will provide to states a state citizenship list derived from federal and state sources, including immigration, Social Security, the SAVE database, and, quote, other relevant federal databases. USPS proposes that states provide a list of eligible mail-in voters prior to the election, each of whom will be assigned a unique tracking number and corresponding barcode. Both USPS and election officials would incorporate the tracking number and barcode into their ballot tracking systems. USPS would ensure, quote, that individuals who receive a mail-in or absentee ballot are included on the state-specific participation list when delivering or receiving ballots. The post office says it will not question eligibility if a voter appears on the state's list. What could possibly go wrong? More on that tomorrow. We've linked the USPS proposal at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.